Welcome to this week's Underwood Cast. Underwood Memorial Baptist Church is located at 1916 North Wauwatosa Avenue in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Our services are held on Sundays at 10 a.m. You can find out more about us by visiting us online at www.underwoodchurch.org. And if you're listening from afar and you'd like to contribute to our church, we do have a donate button available on our website. Thank you so much for tuning in, and now to this week's scripture reading and message.
This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 7, and it is verses 7 through 8, and then 24 through 27. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Underwood, what a treasure you are. You have been a beacon of light and life in Wauwatosa and beyond since math in public again. 1845. As we celebrate the milestone of 170 years, you are moving forward with hope and energy. I see that. You are courageously running the race which God has called you to run. So congratulations on 170 years. May God grant you many, many, many more years. Many more years, not just for our sakes, but for the sake of a world that desperately needs your witness. Someone told me on the way in the door today, we are unique. Yes, yes. We are. God has given us a unique mission, a unique ministry, a unique person purpose. And we're unique persons too, but a unique purpose, and no one else does that work. No, not really. We are a place of inclusion, a place of openness, a place of peace. As I sit in that beautiful office that I get to sit in, I look up, and I look up, and I see the wardrobe. There's not a closet, but there's a wardrobe, and above the wardrobe is a huge poster-like sign. Somebody painted it. And if you don't know that sign, I have no idea where it came from or why it's there, but it's kind of a drab green, and it's about, I looked at it, and I said about 3 feet wide and about 3 feet tall. And there are these stenciled red-orange letters. Peace is strong. Art is open for interpretation. And this is how I interpret it. I see kind of a military motif. The drab green and the stenciled letters. But I see the word peace. Peace is strong. Underwood, you have been built on the rock, not the shifting sands. The solid rock of God's word, the solid rock of the true message of God's inclusive love, the solid rock of peace. Ask and it will be given to you, says Jesus. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open unto you. So ask, seek, knock. I ask God to give you many, many more years. Here's to the next 170. Years of peace and productivity, years of conscious connection with the people outside our doors, years of service and promise, worship and hope, years of knowing God's presence and being God's presence. Happy birthday, church.
As a new member and history buff, I was excited to delve into our church's history as part of our search committee's work on our church profile. And what I found was amazing. I found 170 years of people like us who dared to challenge society by loving those whom society marginalized. I found 170 years of people whose love for God was reflected in and strengthened by the bonds of their Underwood family. I found 170 years of people who simultaneously had a strong sense of history and were proud of their past, but also willing to break from the past when God guided them in new directions. Perhaps most accurately, I found 170 years of people who are the perfect balance of progressive and practical. Then as now, Underwood members are a bunch of starry-eyed dreamers willing to roll up their sleeves and harvest reality from their dreams. As we move forward with finding Underwood's next pastor, I am grateful to be able to share with you the gift of our past. To me, it truly is a gift, for it helped me to do something that I did not think was possible, to believe in our church even more. In the beginning, there were 31 charter members. Exactly 170 years ago today, on October 11th, 1845, 31 charter members started what is now Underwood Memorial Baptist Church. White settlers had only been in the area for 10 years, and it would be another 4 years until Wisconsin became a state. The charter members were all white farmers in the Wisconsin Territory, which was an important stop on the Underground Railroad as slaves made their way up to Canada. Prior to establishing their own church, members had attended Greenfield Baptist Church in neighboring West Allis, but separated from that church over the question of slavery, progressive, and because it was kind of far away, practical. The Greenfield Baptists believed in upholding the law regarding slavery, while the charter members of Underwood believed in the core Baptist value of personal freedom. The charter members may have seemed radical to their Greenfield counterparts, but they were actually following the lead of Baptist forefather Roger Williams. Williams had founded the first Baptist church in America 200 years earlier, in 1638, and was arguably the first abolitionist in North America. Williams was also a proponent of separation of church and state, as were his Revolutionary War-era Baptist successors who ensured the separation in our Constitution. This separation of church and state further validated the charter members' position against the then-legal institution of slavery. One of the first acts by the new church was to deny membership to anyone owning slaves or supporting slavery. For many years, church members worked to elect anti-slavery candidates to public office, helped fund the abolitionist newspaper, The American Freeman, and gave refuge to fugitive slaves as part of the Underground Railroad. In 1849, 1 year after Wisconsin became a state, the church ordained its first pastor, Enoch Underwood. The fledgling church had spent several years seeking a pastor before Enoch, one of its charter members, was called from plow to pulpit. Enoch was an uneducated farmer and accepted the position on a temporary basis, believing the church could and would find a more qualified pastor. But none proved more qualified for laying the foundation of this church than Enoch Underwood, and he went on to serve as pastor for 38 years. Enoch was the leader of the Underground Railroad in what is now Wauwatosa. He and his wife, Harriet, sheltered several individuals seeking freedom in Canada. Harriet's family had successfully helped conduct the first person along the Underground Railroad in southeastern Wisconsin. Her name was Carolyn Quarles, and 150 years later, descendants of Quarles, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing that, and the Underwoods would be reunited by Underwood Church members in honor of the church's 150th anniversary, which I know some of you were able to celebrate. The young church struggled financially in its early years as the settlers struggled to make a profit in their new home. Enoch's salary was the equivalent of $17,000 today, and members subsidized his pay with crops and other farm goods. Enoch continued to farm his own land for additional income and oftentimes gave more money to mission work than he earned from his pastor's salary. In 1853, the church built its first building, which was the first church building of any denomination in Wauwatosa. It once stood where the public library now is and was later moved across the street to the cemetery where it still stands today. On December 2, 1859, the church tolled its bell for 1 hour to mark the execution of John Brown. Brown led the Harper's Ferry Rebellion, raiding an armory with the intention of arming slaves to fight for their liberation. The Harper's Ferry Rebellion escalated tensions between the North and South, which led to the South's secession and the Civil War. When Civil War broke out, several church members joined the Union to abolish slavery once and for all. The Civil War brought prosperity and population growth to Milwaukee, and Wauwatosa began to shift from a farming community to a suburb as Milwaukee businessmen built homes away from the hustle and bustle of their places of work. While some church members bemoaned the changing landscape and left for greener pastures, the church itself benefited from a boost in membership. For over 100 years, church membership grew with Wauwatosa, which became a city in 1897. In 1888, the church built a much larger and more modern building near the village center. Construction on the new building finished in time for the church's anniversary, but Enoch died just months before its completion. 20 years later, his son, Frederick Douglass Underwood, then a wealthy railway president, gave the church a hefty sum of money for renovations, a new organ, and a new bell. Per his request, the church adopted the name of Underwood in honor of his father, and we remain Underwood Memorial Baptist Church to this day. At the turn of the century, members of Underwood took to the social activism and reforms of the progressive era with gusto. Perhaps this is not surprising, given that progressivism was both, well, progressive, and practical, too. Underwood members advanced the cause of prohibition, which was in keeping with one of the three founding resolutions of the church, the denouncement of alcohol. The other two denounced slavery and secret societies. Into the roaring 20s and Great Depression, Underwood offered a rich social alternative to drinking, complete with elaborate musicals, and a community ever ready to lend a hand. During the Progressive Era, Underwood members also advanced the cause of education under the auspices of Sunday School. They established and ran several successful Sunday schools in the area, exposing some to classroom teaching for the very first time, and expanding the knowledge and scholarship of countless others. Perhaps most importantly, they advanced the cause of women. During the Progressive Era, the women of Underwood organized and took to the public sphere like never before. They had what they called experience dollar meetings, where each woman was expected to donate a dollar that she had earned of her own accord. The experience dollars went to the Women's Mission Society, which became one of the first missionary departments in the state and had a vibrant program that expanded to include men and children. An offshoot of the Women's Mission Society was a ladies' aid. Initially, the ladies' aid pieced quilts, sent clothing to missionaries, and cared for immigrant children. However, during the Progressive Era, the ladies' aid became a hotbed of leadership development, and women began filling positions at Underwood and beyond. The Progressive Era largely came to an end with the Great War, or World War I. 15 members of Underwood fought in World War I, and all returned home safely. Our church would not be so lucky with World War II. When the United States entered the war, Underwood saw 85 of its men and women enlist in the armed forces. 4 men did not return home. One of these men was 22-year-old Robert Sheldon. Lieutenant Sheldon participated in bombing raids over Germany and died when his bomber was shot down by enemy fire over Holland. Lieutenant Sheldon's parents gave this podium, that pulpit over there, and also this communion table in honor of their son. And you could still see the plaques on them, too. During World War II, in October 1942, Underwood participated in the observance of Worldwide Communion Sunday, an endeavor that united denominations in an effort to, quote, hold the world together. Underwood members all across the world and here at home joined in taking communion that day. And last week, some 70 years later, we did the same. That sense of a global connection from our first Worldwide Communion Sunday had a profound impact on our church that carries over to this day. During the war, service members remained connected to their Underwood family in other ways as well. They would publish letters and updates and tidings, our monthly newsletter which began in 1941, and receive letters in return. And when Underwood burned its mortgage in May 1943, each service member received a small scrap of the mortgage. The mortgage was a result of a loan taken out shortly after the Great Depression struck, when the church building was in need of repairs. Underwood members took great pride in repaying the mortgage 2 years ahead of schedule. Members were also proud to hire their first woman as an associate pastor. In June 1944, Ruth Powers became the director of religious education. Hiring Ms. Powers was both a continuation of and watershed in our church's ongoing progressive work toward gender equity. We hired several other women as associate ministers, including Kathy Hanold in 1966. And since 2002, the pastors of our church have all been women. Despite the history of our church's founding, in the years following World War II, church members found racial equity more challenging than gender equity. One Sunday, some members walked out of service because the man who gave the sermon, the pastor's friend from seminary, was African American. Others left the church altogether as Underwood became increasingly involved in the struggle for racial equality. Underwood membership did not suffer when these members left. On the contrary, membership soared at the Friendly Baptist Church, which was a moniker by which we were known. In the years immediately after World War II, the economy was booming, babies were booming, and church membership was booming. What set Underwood apart from other churches of the time was its open-door policy of accepting all people and any religious beliefs they might hold, a policy that was both progressive in nature and had practical results. Underwood's membership doubled in size to over 600. Church leaders successfully made the case for a new building, which we all know as Underwood's home. The church was built for $375,000, which is the equivalent of over $3.3 million today, and was nearly paid in full by members' pledges and their fundraising activities. Many members essentially doubled the amount of money that they gave to church each year for 3 years in order to leave us with this beautiful building. The land and stable house, or the barn as it used to be known, were donated. They once belonged to the Cushings, who were some of Underwood's first members, and were donated to the church by the Cushings' children. The exact placement of the building was determined by the location of the oriental pine tree out there in our courtyard, which was long a cherished Wauwatosan landmark and is now 120 years old. Ground was broken on May 9, 1953. The cornerstone was dedicated on October 11, 1953, our anniversary, and dedication week occurred September 12 through 19, 1954. Dedication week included a service for the building's workmen and a dedication message given by the president of the American Baptist Convention, who also happened to be an outspoken integrationist. Among the building's many fascinating details, I would include the shield over our red main doors, the light fixtures in the sanctuary here, and also the stained glass window behind the chancel. The red doors at our main entrance mark our church as a place of safety and refuge. It is like the blood of Christ, and one passes through it into the presence of the Holy Spirit. The shield above the door was meant to symbolize the basic tenets of Underwood's faith. The first quarter has a fleur-de-lis, which, as a conventionalized lily, represents the human nature of our Savior. The second is Jesus Christ, Lamb of God. The third is an open Bible with a cross-hilted sword of the Spirit behind it. And the fourth is a cross, chalice, and anchor representing faith, hope, and charity. The copper light fixtures that you see above you were designed and made by Underwood member Wesley Gadbaugh. Wes was an industrial arts teacher at Hawthorne Junior High. When he heard the estimates given for light fixtures, Wes was appalled and volunteered to do them for himself. The stained glass window that you see behind me replaced the original window in 1957. It was donated by Earl and Margaret Franks in honor of their beloved daughter Karen. Karen was an only child and died tragically at the age of 14 in a plane crash. The window depicts Jesus' growth through childhood and youth, and on the bottom, in the middle, where Jesus is shown welcoming the children, a likeness of Karen appears at his feet. In the slideshow that we have going on in the fireside room, you can see the picture of Karen that the artist used to render the likeness. As the church settled into our new home, we turned our focus to helping others feel at home, whether at Underwood, in the Milwaukee area, or in the United States. For almost 20 years, Underwood hosted an annual Foreign Student Day. All foreign exchange students attending college in the Milwaukee area were invited, and dozens of students from around the world would attend. The day included singing discussions, lunch at the homes of members and/or dinner at the church, and lots of camaraderie. Underwood strove to make these foreigners feel at home when they were miles away from their own. A generation later, we extended this same sense of hospitality to political refugees, helping individuals and families start a new life in the United States. Underwood also strove to make African Americans feel at home in their own city. In the late 1960s, Underwood members and ministers participated in Milwaukee's open housing marches. For 200 consecutive days, African Americans and their allies marched against housing discrimination based upon race. A wonderful side effect of the marches was the forging of lasting relationships. In the late 1960s, Underwood and the inner city Mount Moriah Baptist Church held a joint vacation Bible school. And 20 years later, the two churches began holding interracial worship services and alternated hosting the services. These services were highly attended and highly effective at overcoming racial divides. In the 1980s, Underwood was also active in overcoming geographical and political divides. We did our part to thaw Cold War hostilities by sending our pastor to the Soviet Union several times, becoming sister churches with a church in East Germany, and starting a chapter of the Baptist Peace Fellowship. Our efforts were driven by our centuries-old commitment to personal freedom, our belief in the inherent worth of each individual, and our knowing that we are all one. With the new millennium came the opportunity for us to demonstrate the same commitment to personal freedom, belief in individuals' worth, and knowledge of our oneness. We did so by becoming welcoming and affirming of all people, regardless of gender identity and sexual orientation. When we lovingly invited LGBT people to join us as they are, we broke away from other Baptist churches, just as our founders had over slavery. And we lost some members, just as we had in the late 1940s when we positioned ourselves at the forefront of the fight for equality for African Americans. But we've also gained so much more. I would personally like to thank all of you who worked to make our church welcoming and affirming so that my family could become a part of the Underwood family. Learning our history has not only given me the gift of strengthening my belief in our church, it has also strengthened my belief in God. For in preparing this history to share with you on our church's 170th birthday, I came to see that churches reflect our understanding of God. What our church believes and does are manifestations of who God is and what God means to us. Wow, do I ever love this church. And wow, do I ever love how we see God. Calling a new pastor marks a crucial time in our church's history. We are breaking from the past as God guides us in new directions, just as we have for the past 170 years. It's a wonderful paradox, akin to the fact that we are united as a church in sharing the belief of the importance of having a diversity of beliefs. As we reflect upon our first 170 years and look to the next 170, I'm excited to roll my sleeves up with you, my fellow starry-eyed dreamers, and can't wait to see what we harvest for our church's future with the help of our next pastor.
That concludes our scripture reading and message for this week. You can find out more about our church and what's happening at www.underwoodchurch.org. If you're listening from afar and you'd like to contribute to our church, there's also a donate button there. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.